Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm delighted to share my first series is in partnership with Heck, who, like me, do things differently. Being an independent and British family-owned business, they use the finest ingredients in small batches, pulling out all the stops to bring that farmer's market quality to the supermarket shelf. In addition to their delicious original range, they offer veggie options too, catering for absolutely everyone, all of which can be found online at heckfood.co.uk and in the major supermarkets too. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to simplify nutrition, equipping you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. Chessie King is a body confidence campaigner and presenter who is using her voice on social media to stand up to cyberbullying. She has become a viral inspiration, working with the United Nations, Team GB, and designing her own activewear range. And I can say, as I have a set from this range, it is pretty fabulous. Championing an international community of body positivity and raising awareness for silent disabilities, Chessie is a household name when it comes to Instagram role models, and I am so privileged to not only call her a dear friend, but someone who inspires me daily. Hello, Chessie!
Hello! How are you?
Really well. You are radiating confidence and energy this morning. So, Chessie, obviously, we've got so many different aspects that we can cover on this podcast today. And I kind of want to start from sticking out at school. And you've been very open about your experiences of being, let's say, taller at school and not feeling like you fit in 100% of the time. And how did you feel your relationship with food has changed? And obviously, you then went on to present for OK magazine. So you've come incredibly far from your school days.
I think, like you, I've done so much since I started work at 14. Mm. I wasn't a Subway artist, which
no,
I love.
No, I was a sandwich artist.
I love when Marie talks about her previous jobs. But I have done so many different jobs, and I think I've learnt from all of them. Mm. And learnt from being at a school where everyone was at school with me. It wasn't a private school. Yeah. It wasn't an all-girls school. Mm. I was in a year with a huge variety of people, and I think that really opened me up to just being comfortable around anyone and kind of dealing with different situations, just different groups of people. And working 14 till, how old am I now, 25? So I think 11 years of just different work experience. That's where I've really learned most of my life skills, my personal skills, and just kind of, dealing with different situations.
So do you feel, even back at school, do you remember having an interesting relationship with food, or was it just something you didn't think about?
I think up until I was about 15, I had no. I just ate really, really healthily because my mum is
Your
always,
mum is an amazing cook, isn't
she? She's incredible, honestly. Yeah. She's always brought us up on super fresh, nutritious meals that, awesome. I took for granted when I was younger because obviously you don't appreciate what your parents are giving you.
No.
And it wasn't until I was about 15 and she was saying, right, well, Chessie, let's give you more energy, because I was really, really active. I danced so much and I swam, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, competitively. Mm. And I was actually aiming to do 2012.
Wow.
But I think I chose dance and horse riding, and I was just so active. So my mum would fuel me with all the right foods.
Good,
and I think it wasn't until I was about 15 that I was like, what is this, mum? Like, everyone's eating crisps, everyone's eating chocolate at
school. So you had the other end of the spectrum. Yeah. Most people go from eating that and journeying, but you were very fortunate to have this incredible...
I was so lucky. Yeah. And it really did, without me even thinking about it, it taught me so much about healthy foods. Mm. But I did go into a stage when I was about 16 of just kind of rebelling against what my mum was cooking. I think we all do as teenagers.
Of course, like, mum, I don't want broccoli anymore. I want quavers.
Literally, she would be making us these gorgeous just rice cakes with back then rice cakes were seen as very, very healthy. So rice cakes with peanut butter and almond butter and all of this. And
great.
I take them to school and everyone would be like, why have you got polystyrene tiles? but I think it kind of stemmed my unhealthy relationship with food for maybe over a period of probably on and off for 4 years, from when I was about 17, stemmed from actually my mum's cooking, because I loved having the freedom to choose what I wanted to choose.
Yeah.
And you do go through that stage of rebelling. And in my way of rebelling, it was, I didn't go out and smoke and drink and do all of that. It was rebelling against food and going, actually, mum, I want to eat chocolate. I want to do this. And when you start actually, well, you have 16 to 17, you actually have that freedom to go and choose what you want. And that money, like you get £2 a day and you go and spend it on chocolate. Because,
well, I used to go to the local sweet shop and get pear drops in a jar.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, and a little paper bag after school. I was so excited.
Yeah, I know. Well, you do, because like finally you have this money and you don't have to just eat what your parents are giving you.
No.
But yeah, it's been a long journey, but I have come out the other end of it, and I try and talk about my experiences to help people. And obviously I'm not a nutritionist, but I refer a lot of people to you when they ask specific questions.
Well, you're very open about the journey you've had with your body and with the kind of dietary aspects. I mean, going back to the bikini competitions, and was there ever a defining moment that kind of helped you find peace with your body? It's something you're very open about discussing. Was there that key kind of moment or a gradual process?
I think it was actually 2 years ago when I did a personal training course, and I actually educated myself on how my body was working. What was actually, this was after a bikini competition, which was obviously extreme, and it was the healthiest way I could possibly do it, but obviously looking back it was not healthy. And I thought in my head, I was like, oh, everyone's saying you're so tiny, you're so this, you're so lean, and you're so muscly, and I'd be like, oh, but I'm so healthy, don't worry. And actually looking back, that was not health.
Well,
that
there are pros and cons to everything, and for some people that might be okay, but I think what you talk about now is how perhaps, like you've just said, it wasn't the best mindset to be in as well.
Yeah, and I think it was a challenge. But from that, I think educating myself through a personal training course and actually getting that real understanding of what my body was doing, not just how much it was lifting, not just how long it could run for. It was actually, right, what is the structure and function of my body? And that was fascinating to me.
Yeah,
I
incredible.
Love it.
Incredible, absolutely incredible. Did you find that when you were studying to become a PT, it changed how you then kind of lived your life every day with your routine with fitness and health?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely gave me more of a... going into the gym and actually thinking, what muscles am I using?
Mm.
How shall I fuel this afterwards?
Yeah.
Like, what's my post-workout? And just thinking of it more like, just with a bit more knowledge behind it, not just for aesthetics.
And is fitness something you've always been into as well?
Without even knowing, yes, when I was younger, obviously doing a lot of swimming, and I didn't think of it, because when you're that young, you don't think of it as fitness.
You just
and
have
gym.
Fun.
Yeah, you just
have
fun.
Yeah, which is how
play.
It should be.
Oh my God, I still do.
Like, adults should play more.
Definitely. And when I'm with children, like looking after them, that's when I'm like so happy, because like you're sweating running around after them, but you're like, this is the best.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, I was so active when I was younger. My mum, bless her, took me to every single thing that I wanted to do. And I'd be like, right, I want to do this. I want to do this. I was dancing minimum, like 6 hours a day at one point for 2 or 3 years. And that, because we didn't have Instagram back then, it wasn't to me fitness. It was it was my life, and it was it was just so nice being active. And it was weird when I had a Sunday off. I always said to my mum, I was like, I hate Sundays. And she was like, why? I was like, because I feel like I'm not doing anything, because we'd always have like a Sunday roast, and I wouldn't be doing my millions of activities.
And even back then, that's before you kind of, it's how your body felt. So you were tuning in to how you felt from the results of exercise rather than what you should be looking like exercising.
And it made me feel amazing. I always felt tired at the end of the day, but I never ever wanted to go to sleep because I felt like I was missing out on playing and having fun, honestly. And that was even till I was like 15 16, like and still now, like, I'm like, I don't want to go to sleep. No, I do definitely need my sleep now.
I mean, it's really interesting discussing the topic of social media. So I want to discuss with you your amazing campaign, that the Cyber Smile campaign, where you shared a glimpse into your experience of the trolling, which I think does resonate with so many of us who've gone through online abuse. What advice can you give to those people that are suffering? And tell us a bit about the campaign.
So it was a very creative way of basically showing how much a figure online goes through in a day, and how much hate or negative comments we get. And I know you've experienced it
too. Which is surprising as a nutritionist. I didn't think I would ever become a subject
trolling. But it's because opinions, if you put an opinion out there, or if you put your body out there, if you put anything out there, there are going to be people that you're attracting other opinions and other hate. Like, it was basically 24 hours of not saying anything about the campaign. It was me showing photos of myself and then transforming myself into this absolute monster after the 24 hours, all from troll comments that I was getting through my direct messages. So every photo, if someone said, oh, you're so fat, then the editors, there was a team of editors and retouchers that would make me thinner, or your arms are too big, they'd make my arms smaller. So it was a kind of an accumulation, so it kind of built up, and we'd layered all of these hate comments on top of each other, and at the end I looked like an absolute, well, I looked, the whole point
was
trolling.
So they picked an image, didn't they? And the original image had then, you then added all the trolling comments to it, and you became this kind of, not even like a human being. It was a very odd image.
Alien. Yeah, and it was, the whole thing was, trolling is ugly, not you. So if I took on, and if we took on all the comments, what they said, we'd be ugly. Well, not ugly.
It's, but just not normal looking.
Not normal looking, and it's not how we were ever born to look like. So it's them that are the trolls, unfortunately, are the ones that are in a bad position, and they're obviously unhappy with their life. They need to make themselves feel better by writing on your posts or direct messages. And I've done a lot about it, and it's amazing how many people are backing it and actually realising.
So many. Cyber Smile actually said 47% of people have personally experienced online abuse. And I'm sure it's probably higher.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. Yeah. And even to go as far and extreme to say that people take their own lives from it. And it is so sad. And I think now mental health is such a massive thing that we all talk about, and health. And
totally.
I think it's really shifting now that people are realising it's not okay.
And how many years, though, Chess, had you experienced these kind of comments for before getting involved with a campaign like Cyber Smile?
Oh, from kind of the start of when I used social media properly. So I think maybe 2.5 years, and that was online. But it goes from just comments online to then emails to then death letters and then threats. And that's when it gets scary, and that's when you really do need to go see someone. And Cyber Smile is incredible, and I would 100% recommend if anyone's going through it.
How can people find out more about what should they do? What are the steps that people should do?
So, when you receive a comment, block the person, delete that comment, so no one else is seeing it, because obviously as people on social media, I feel like we have a responsibility even for other people to see those comments, because they're horrible. It's disgusting.
No,
so block and delete. Definitely if it goes one step further and they're creating other accounts, which they normally do, I'd go onto the Cyber Smile website. They give you some incredible tips.
Is that just cybersmile.com?
cybersmile.org.uk. Okay. And then they will call you, and they'll set in place a structure to basically a plan to help you. And if it's actually really affected you, they can give you support and they can make sure that this does not happen again, and they really keep an eye on your account. They're incredible. They're such a brilliant team.
It's so important, isn't it? Because it's almost like the new age bullying. I mean, back at school, we didn't have this, but we still got physically or verbally kind of abused in that way. And now it's taken a whole new light where it's very hard to stop it.
It really is. I mean, I can laugh about it now, but the worst I've had was a week where, and it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where they'd created this profile and it was pictures of me and they were editing me to look smaller and then reposting it and doing a side-by-side saying, Chelsea King, fat in the original.
Oh, shocking.
And then you look better, minus 10 kilograms or something.
Yeah.
And then editing my photo to make me look smaller. And I was like, how much time are you spending on this?
Looking
but
at
apparently
the page.
All the trolls, when one troll comes in, they basically have this horrible platform where they go, I don't know what it is, a forum where they go, right, let's go in on this photo. And they all swarm. That's why
terrible.
You only really, you don't ever really get just the one off if it's like a proper troll, that a professional troll.
I mean, this is what I love about you, Chess, is that you're obviously very positive, very upbeat. You know, you handle these things with such grace and such a good stride in your step. But really, it's hurtful. And I'm so glad that you've kind of put a light on this happening, because I'm sure a lot of people can relate completely to this happening.
Yeah, and I mean, it's from, I mean, 2,000 followers to 2 million followers. It can happen anywhere.
Anybody.
You don't have to have loads of followers for it to happen.
I'm sure now, I mean, I don't know if this is the case, but I've had some people in my clinic who experienced bullying, and that was through Instagram, unfortunately, in a school environment where the other children in the classroom...
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, were picking on this one child through social media. So I think a lot more has to be done, but something people don't know about you... or a lot of people don't, unless they are avid followers on the page, is that you have a hearing aid. And this is something that you are, I mean, I've been your friend whilst you've been going through this process, and I remember the day that everything kind of happened for you. How do you deal with this immense transition in your life?
I think I'm still getting used to it. And I think I just try and... see it as, like, you're wearing glasses right now. Glasses are fashionable. Glasses are, you look gorgeous in glasses.
Thanks, babe.
If anyone was to wear a hearing, people are so afraid of wearing hearing aids because they think it's for 80-year-olds that have lost their hearing.
Yes, we associate it with older
people. Yeah, and it's maybe one of those huge, huge hearing aids that you see at the back that are maybe for younger people embarrassing to wear. And I think, you know what? When I lost my hearing, I was in such shock that I was 23. I was like, how have I just lost like one side of my hearing?
It was 80%. A huge shock to come to.
It was massive.
Yeah.
And I still have no answer to what happened. But
and you've seen a lot of different specialists.
I really have. And I've ruled out a lot. Brain damage and it being a degenerative thing and all of this. So I have no other way to deal with it than just to be like, you know what? I wear a hearing aid. I'm very proud of it. It's rose gold and I love it. And
I love the colour.
I love it. It's gorgeous.
Such a nice little fashion accessory.
It really
is.
I'm really proud of it.
People wouldn't see it, though.
No. Someone said, oh, my God, is that the new Bluetooth thing that you attach to your phone so you can speak to people on the phone? I was like, not quite. But it could do that. Some hearing aids actually do that. My old hearing aid did connect calls. But the thing is, you can't hear. You don't have any hearing, so then you can't. But yeah.
And what people don't realise is being in a social situation. So for instance, before you had the hearing aid, going into a loud nightclub or into a busy room with lots of chatting, do you have to adjust the levels, the volume?
I mean, without it, before I even had it, and it took me a good year to actually go to an audiologist and say, this is actually what I need. And it was scary because I was like, oh my God, I'm actually having to use something. Like for me, it was a real step of going, right, I've really
acceptance.
Got to accept, that I have lost this. But there I am, and you know that I'm quite a chameleon. Like I kind of draw. How do I say this? I'm different around different people and different environments.
Yeah, you
and
adapt
I think,
well.
Yeah, I adapt to different situations, and I think with my hearing, that's really, really changed how I am in certain situations.
Well, especially with confidence, because I remember one particular situation. I know you're probably not embarrassed or shy to talk about things. But I remember when we were in a, I think it was a restaurant, it was somewhere, and you kept saying, can you repeat that, please? Or just sit on the side. Or you were trying to lip read as well, because that was before you had the hearing aid, I think, as well. And it was such a huge contrast, because your line of work as well, you do a lot of presenting. So you're up on a stage, you're a very confident, bubbly person, and people would take one look at you, think, Chessie King, she's got it all. They would have no idea that you deal with those struggles day to day.
Yeah, and I think we try and obviously talk about invisible illnesses and invisible disabilities, and I wouldn't call mine a disability at all. But I have really struggled, and it has really affected the way that I am with people that maybe don't know that I have hearing loss. Like, friends and family are incredibly understanding. Yeah. And we joke about me not being able to understand what they say or hear what they say. And Matt has to repeat things all the time.
So Matt is your boyfriend. He's also, he's a type 1 diabetic, isn't he?
So we try and talk a lot about being a robot, which is, he's got his little Freestyle Libra, which is a tag. I was just saying to Will, actually, it's a tag that goes through his arm, and it's so that he doesn't have to prick his fingers when he's testing his blood sugar.
Which is great, because all that pricking. I mean, there's a lot of it.
Oh my God, the technology
type 1
these days is incredible. Yeah. So we're little robots. I've got my hearing aid, he's got that. But it's just, it's kind of, for me, and I take such a positive light on what I've learned from this experience, is, and I would share this with everyone, is to be just more empathetic with people and to actually take the time and go, right, and we've spoken about this before, to if someone pushes you on the tube or like barges you in London, and it's it happens so much in London, especially because we're in a busy city.
Oh, it makes you feel so vile. I can't describe it.
Well, that's the thing, but then I always kind of, at first I'm like, oh, why do they push me? But actually then I think, oh, maybe they've got something wrong with their, I don't know, there's something going on. They don't have, they're visually impaired, or they don't have that spatial awareness because of maybe an inability to feel things. Or, and it makes me really take a step back and go, actually, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They maybe not, probably don't have anything, but, and they probably were just rude.
But never judge a book by its cover.
It really does. Yeah. I think it's made me like a kind of more, I don't know, it's definitely made me more empathetic to those that are going through things that you can't see.
No.
And the more I talk about it, the more it helps others and the more it helps me, because I had no idea what was going on when it first happened.
Well, there's quite a large community, isn't there, of hearing loss as well. And it's something that I think needs to be definitely spoken of. And on a complete kind of separate side note, this is, you are a self-confessed popcorn addict. Just taking it back to the food a little bit.
Oh, I love it.
What is your take on enjoying those foods you just have to have whilst, you know, maintaining a healthy routine? Because, you know, popcorn can fit into a variety of flavours, as we know these days. How do you manage the balance? Because you're an advocate of having a healthy, balanced lifestyle, but you enjoy what you enjoy when you want it.
Yeah, and I think now, popcorn to me, people are still like, are you still obsessed? And I'm like, yes, of course, but I just have taken a step back because I was eating far too much. But no, I think it's funny, like everyone when they see me with popcorn are like, oh, there she is,
Chessie King with popcorn.
And I do absolutely love it, but I think now I've realised that I went through a stage where I literally had a family pack a day, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to turn into
extreme.
A popcorn girl.
Okay. A bit much.
This is not going well for me. But no, I mean, for me, the rule of thumb in my house, and I have just moved, so I feel like everything now is like, my kitchen is exactly how I want it. It's
beautiful.
Perfect. Mm. Thank you. So I think if I don't have it in the house, I won't eat it and I won't be tempted to eat it.
Yeah.
But then if I do fancy it and I see it, I'm like, well, of course I'm going to have a packet.
This is it. You have such a good attitude, and it's so refreshing to see from somebody that is considered as an influencer on social media to have a healthy, balanced relationship with food. It's something I find a lot of the time in my clinic. I've got people that fear good or bad foods, you know, people that are not sure, oh, popcorn, they label it as bad, therefore I cannot have it. I mean, how have you managed to get yourself to a place where you just eat what you want and you enjoy yourself?
Oh, see, that is like, it's the best place to be in, but it has taken so long. And I mean, I went through stages where I could not even look at a bar of chocolate without even being scared of it, really. Mm. I was so petrified. And I went through two stages, probably when I was 18 and Yeah, 18 and about 21, where I was petrified of food, and food was the enemy, and it was so scary because people would serve me food and I could not eat it. And I'd go to restaurants and I'd say, oh, I've already eaten, so I'd have a green tea or whatever. And that now, I look back and I'm like, I'm glad I went through it because now I appreciate food so much. But I think it was a real turning point where I just started thinking, right, what foods make me feel really good?
Yeah.
And what because I actually love healthy food because obviously my mum's brought me up on it. I don't crave bad food.
Where do you think that fear though came from back at the time when that was happening?
It was definitely my career because when I was 18, I was doing a bit of modelling and
they
told me.
You were also walking red carpets at one point, you know, you still do.
And I was obviously doing a lot of, I was presenting a lot. So my job was so demanding because I was in the face of the public and I was on camera and I was quite, I was mature for my age, but looking back, I was young and my thoughts of food and having to be the smallest and going to fittings and castings and then putting me in literally a size not even half of my toe would fit.
There was one example you used. I think it was like you were at some casting thing and they gave you like a size that was like three sizes smaller than you.
Yeah, and they all watched me try and fit into it.
And they were like, obviously I'm not going to be fitting into this.
Yeah, and they were like, well, you will because otherwise you can't do this job. And it is so cutthroat. And it's definitely changed now and shifted because obviously there's a lot about the modelling industry now. But I think from those experiences and seeing photos of when I was that small, it makes me realise that I wasn't made to be that small. I'm a taller girl. I have got shape to me, and I think now I look in the mirror and I think, right, this body has done so much for me, and it is amazing. Even like little things, like I have a cut yesterday and then it's gone, and I'm like, you're fascinating. Like, thank you, body, for doing such incredible things.
Like,
it's so weird.
Like, looking in the mirror is a challenge that we do a lot in clinic. So I tell people, instead of just focusing on yourself, think about the space around you in the mirror.
Okay.
Who are you in comparison to that big picture there? But people just go straight to the bit they don't like.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they're constantly thinking, I need to change that. I need to do that. And actually, the time you spend wanting to change things is such a waste, and it really makes me sad. Like, obviously, I am a huge advocate for body confidence, but I have this fine line between body confidence and being really healthy for a long life.
Yeah.
And for me, health is my priority.
It should be everyone's priority.
Yeah, and
health
is
longevity and
of
happiness.
Of course. And happiness, that's the thing with energy. Like, I have a lot of people being like, how do you have so much energy? I'm sure you have the same. Like, how are you so smiley and energy? It's because I fuel myself and I move. Like, I'm definitely not, people are like, how many times do you work out a week?
It's not about counting things.
No.
It's about doing things that make you feel good.
Exactly. And just moving in any way. Like, I don't even think about it now. I'll happily walk maybe four tube stops instead of getting on the tube, just because that's kind of my life. And the more active I am, the happier I am.
So do you think the more body confident you became, the more you kind of started to say, hell no, I'm not putting up with this diet industry and this diet culture.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fit into the shape. Is that when your relationship with food kind of became very positive and you suddenly were able to...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
none of these like juice diets or anything that obviously we talk about. And and unfortunately, there's still a lot out there that needs to be culled.
Well, there are a lot of pressures. And I remember from my days as a singer feeling that I had to look a certain way to be successful. Mm. I never used to rate myself as a soprano on my voice. It was always on how I looked in the dress, you know, what I was doing that week, how little I could eat, what diet product I could buy. And I think although times have changed, we're still stuck. How would you advise people, especially in the world of the social media, which isn't going anywhere, let's face it. Social media is just getting bigger and bigger.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I know.
What are your top tips to protect yourself on this platform?
I think the more I remove myself from social media and live for the real moments and actually just
You did
be,
a week off recently,
oh,
didn't you?
Oh, it's amazing.
Social
honestly,
free week.
It was incredible. Yeah, yeah. And I didn't even touch my phone. Like, I forgot I had one. Obviously,
heaven. In
real life, when you're working, maybe that's yeah. not feasible.
Of course.
But I think the more that I live for the real moments and actually just spend time with people that don't judge me for my body, that actually love me for the person I am and have fun with me. And I think... my best memories in life have nothing to do with my
exactly.
body. They have nothing.
Well,
they're with my
the
best
nail
friends.
On your head there, judge you by your body. And that's because Instagram and other places are image-based platforms. Mm. So you see a picture, a filtered world. It's not actually your personality.
Exactly. And that's why I love stories so much, because you can actually just take someone with you on your day and be yourself.
Have a bit
and
of
I
fun.
Think, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the more that you see this real life on Instagram, obviously there's only so much you can show, but the more we make it normal to maybe sit down and have those imperfections that people think are imperfections, they're not, they're the body, they're the human body.
Of course.
I think the more we see that, the more that everyone will actually appreciate what they look like, instead of just being like, oh, I wish I looked like that Victoria's Secret model.
I wish we could embrace that more. And this is totally unrelated, but well, it kind of is related, but down to like vegetables. I mean, I've had this comment. This is like, I'm going there. Vegetables look identical on shop shelves, right?
They
so
do, yeah.
Carrots, for instance, all the same size, all the perfect shape and how they're cut. Actually, if we were to just grow carrots and not have to think aesthetically on how they'd look, they'd all be all wobbly and knobbly and they wouldn't look.
Oh my God, do you know that drink that we had? It says it's made out of wonky cucumbers.
There you go.
I love that.
But we're having to write.
For the shop.
Yes, because people that go into supermarkets, if they see something that looks a little bit out of the perfect round shape a tomato should be, they won't buy it.
No, I know. It's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
So bodies.
It's like humans. We're just the same as, well, not the same as vegetables. But you know, we need to embrace.
Basically, Rhea's trying to say that I look like a cucumber, but that's fine. You look like
a
pineapple.
Thanks, darling. So we've had lots of different questions from people come in for you, Chessie, and I think this is a really good opportunity for you to really give out some words of wisdom. So we've got, I think you say Shana. This is a beautiful name, Shana.
Lovely.
Shana. Could be said a variety of ways. She has said, when you work out, do you track how many calories you've burned?
Definitely not. Honestly, no. I don't even wear a heart rate monitor anymore because I think, well, actually, no, I have had heart problems, so I've had to, but...
recently you had
an ECG.
Yeah, but that's different from a tracker.
That's different, yes. So I don't even look at steps I do. I don't even look at... I think for me, if I'm doing something really specific and I want to know numbers, as in my heart rate, I never look at calories. I look at just my heart rate by going how hard I'm working or where I want to stay in a zone or whatever. But I never ever. I used to 100%.
Yeah, oh God,
I think
we've all tracked calories.
Oh my God,
do have a place. It's just not for everyone.
Yeah, of course. And if you want to set yourself maybe a goal, not comparing to anyone else, and if you maybe you did say, I don't know, 30 minutes on the rower the other day and you know exactly what calories you burnt on the rower, even though it's not accurate because it's a machine, it doesn't know you as a person.
Yeah.
I think if you then set yourself maybe a goal to do a few more in 30 minutes, if you're using it as a goal,
measure,
then fine. Mm. But not, oh my God, I've burnt 300 calories so I can then go and eat 300.
Oh, no.
That's not how I think.
And
the
number's
at
not
all.
Representative of the whole picture, I find. And what you said on those machines, so I learned yesterday that there are only 4 40% accurate anyway.
40?
Yeah, 40% wow. These fitness machines in gyms.
That's so interesting.
So if you're looking at what you've burned anyway, I'm sorry, but there's only 40% chance that's right. It's less than half.
That's
so
not,
just a little one for you there. So Jen has said, my partner doesn't like going to the gym. So you're quite lucky with Matt there, Chess, I think. How can I motivate him to come with me?
Oh, that's really nice. I would start off, obviously there's so many different reasons why people don't go to the gym. So I'd be a little more empathetic. Maybe there are reasons. And for guys, it is hard because you're constantly, as a guy, looking at other guys lifting weights and going, oh my God, I should be doing that. You shouldn't. You don't need to.
It's a male problem too. It's not just female. Oh, lots of 100%. Men are affected with body image.
And Matt talks a lot about that. And just, not comparing. But I would start maybe be like, right, should we do maybe 20 minutes in the house and do a bit in the living room? I mean, I think home workouts would get him into that. Oh, this is actually quite fun.
That's
and
a
like
good
just
idea.
Making it fun or even just like Matt and I, for one of our first dates, like 2 years ago, went to a trampoline park.
That's so
and I
much
think
fun.
We sweated more. We are very sweaty, but I think we sweated more in the trampoline park than we did, like, say, going to a gym. I'd like vary, mix it up, go on a bike ride, get outside. Like, you don't have to just go to the gym.
Yes.
Make that your time if he doesn't want to come with you.
Yeah.
But if you want to work out together, do something fun, make it an experience. And bike
good
riding
tips.
For me, oh my God, it's my new favourite thing. I feel like the freest
oh
ever.
My goodness, make
without
it
my
fun.
Phone.
Yeah, travel just, somewhere new, oh,
go in the
park.
Yeah, gorgeous.
I'm yet to get on what are the new bikes? They're not Boris, they're...
You've seen them.
Yeah, what are they? The new company now that took over the bikes. Like, I can't remember what they are.
No,
but anyway, I need to go and give those a whirl. Rachel had asked as well, what's your favourite popcorn flavour that came in?
Okay, peanut butter and almond.
I knew it.
Oh my God,
I
she
knew
knows.
It.
It's literally my favourite. It's so strange though. I've like gone off sweet and salt because I really think it's too sweet.
Ah.
Like, I think my mouth's changing.
Do you know what? As we age though, so this is a fact, young kids, there's a reason they don't like vegetables sometimes because their taste buds aren't adapted to equip themselves with those
like
flavours.
Olives.
Yep. Well, I don't know if it's about olives, but
as in like, I used to hate olives when I was younger. But
now you love them.
Yeah, now I love, well,
yes,
I don't love
Chess.
Them, but.
It's all about the olives. remember that, kids, olives, just you'll grow into them. Yasmin says, you are so great to watch, Chessie. My daughter aspired to be an Instagram star. What advice do you have for me to get her to prioritise school?
Oh, okay. Well, there's no such thing as an Instagram star.
There you go.
I promise you, none of us who actually
Definitely.
Started Instagram 2 years ago ever thought it would be more than just an editing platform, as in like a filter platform.
Totally.
I never thought it was going to be part of my job, and I never even considered myself
a star. No one knew how big
star.
That was
that's
gonna
not,
get.
Yeah, no, that's no. not a thing. Star's not a thing. So I would say to her, look, all of us, as in London, different countries, all of us who are on Instagram went to school, we worked hard, and well, I don't know about everyone, but definitely me and you. And I mean, I at school, I loved learning, and you're
That's
exactly
so nice.
The same.
Yeah.
And I never ever thought I wanted to be a presenter, and for me, that was my main thing because I loved interviewing people. Like anywhere I'd
well,
go,
anyone can see that. You know, you're such a joy to see, and you love chatting
you're so
away.
Sweet.
And you
I
know,
just love asking questions because I'm really interested in people. So
you would say to Yasmin, get to school.
Yeah, and work hard. Like, I honestly, education, like when you're younger, is so weird because you're put into this environment that you have no choice.
No, and you don't have to be great at it, but give everything a go. Don't rule anything out.
Exactly. And do what you love doing outside of school because then it really takes you away and gives you maybe more hope. If you do want to use Instagram and social media, make sure you're using it for the right reasons. Mm. Maybe do like something that you love. Maybe you love art at school,
maybe
maybe
make
do a few drawing
statues or
things.
Yeah,
that exactly.
So cool.
Or if you dance, what, maybe do some dance. Yeah, clay statues.
Maybe no one makes no one these days makes then. Clay statues.
She did that in her spare time. You're right, Ruth. Like, can you make me a clay statue? I love that.
Terrible example.
But work hard at school, kids.
Yes, work hard. I'm right. Moving on.
Okay.
Rosie says, do you eat 3 meals a day?
Oh, God, Rosie. So it depends. I mean, all of my days are so varied that, like, I really try. And I always, always have a really good breakfast. And for me, I absolutely love just piling everything in a smoothie. So I literally have, like, spinach in there. I have oats. I have banana. I have oat milk. And I just whiz it up with ice and maybe some protein powder, maybe some hemp seed.
Good. I need that right now.
And for me, that is so refreshing. And I, like, I don't know. It depends. depends. If it's a weekday, that for me is the easiest thing to do. And then like when I'm out, I'll try and pick up a really healthy salad, and I'll eat when I feel hungry, yeah. And then I'll always try and make sure that we have a home cooked dinner.
Nice, isn't it? If you've got the time to see, it's lovely. And
well,
Anthony,
if you do have the time,
well, that's the thing. That's the thing. The next question is from Anthony, and he said, "How can I get my girlfriend? This is quite a serious one. To stop photoshopping her pictures."
Oh, it's so hard.
It's because, heartbreaking.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And we've seen so much like press about people obviously photoshopping their photos, but my main thing would be she wants people to see her and for people to meet her in real life and go, oh, she is exactly the same on social media
yes.
as she is in real
yes.
life. It's
yes.
It's honestly, if I photoshop myself now, it would be hugely embarrassing if anyone
well,
saw
so
me.
So detrimental to what you stand
yeah,
for.
Yeah, exactly. And someone, exactly. If someone saw me and went, oh my God, she does not look like anything. She looks better with that Valencia photo, but Valencia filter and with a bit off her waist. Like, I just try, just be so proud of yourself and whatever shape you are, whatever size you are, just be yourself and show yourself on Instagram. And if you do feel like you're maybe not fitting into your clothes, you don't feel like you've got that energy and you are feeling a bit bigger than you should be, and personally she should be, then use your Instagram to show your journey.
There is a movement, I think, now, which I think is a good one, that the less photoshopping that happens on a whole everywhere, the better, because magazines have
definitely.
Got to stop.
Yeah.
Celebrities, I think the more that we all make a stand, the better. So thank you for that question, Anthony. We're now going to
support her.
Support is the best thing, I think. Surround yourself by positive people. Right.
Oh, I'm scared
this
for
is,
this.
I know, this is my favourite bit of the podcast. This is the quickfire round. Okay, Chessie King, here are some questions for you. Okay, it's going to be lighthearted, good fun. What's always in your fridge?
Hummus.
Oh, great.
I love hummus.
She's bought hummus today as well. We've got hummus and carrot sticks here. You can only have one kitchen gadget. What would it be?
Oh, one of those spatula things. I love a spatula.
That's so random. A spatula? Really?
No, my need to pull it.
Don't change it now.
Sorry,
you said
spatula. A spatula. I can do everything with a spatula.
Oh, it's so funny. Signature homemade dish.
Oh, I make a really good coconut curry.
You do. I've had your coconut
curry.
It's the
only thing I make, everyone.
It is the only thing you make.
I am broadening my recipes. Don't worry.
Okay,
yeah.
Next time we come over, different recipe, Chess. But I do love your curry. What is your favourite restaurant?
Oh, favourite restaurant. Oh, God. That's so hard.
I know. It can be anywhere.
Oh, my God. It can be anywhere. Okay, one in America on Abbot Kinney. It's Farmer's Daughter. It's incredible.
Oh, I've heard of that
it's
before.
It's delicious.
Maybe I've seen it actually on your
really
page
healthy,
or something.
Delicious,
sounds lovely.
Yeah.
What is the one food you can't live without?
Well, obviously popcorn.
There we go. I know.
I
that was
not,
coming, wasn't
yeah.
it? That was coming. What is the strangest food you've ever eaten?
Oh, crickets. I tried some crickets when we were in Sri Lanka and they were like, they're supposed to be like a real...
I know, nutritious, aren't they? It's a whole bug insect craze. I'm
absolutely
just not down with
not.
It yet. I mean, nutritionally, they're probably great, but I just can't do it. Did
no.
it crunch?
Very crunchy.
Wow.
But I felt rude saying no because the guy was like, have a cricket? I was like, okay, I'll have a Jiminy cricket.
This is so funny. Okay, so crickets, lovely. Oh, don't think of Jimmy McCricket. That's quite sad,
sorry.
Isn't it now? It's my
poor
Pinocchio Disney days. What is your go-to healthy dish in a rush?
Definitely a smoothie. I know it's not a dish, but honestly, chucking all the nutritional things and just sipping it down. And like not... Yeah, it's just the easiest way to get your nutrition
it is,
isn't it?
It's so blooming quick, so easy. Who is your biggest cooking inspiration?
Oh, 100% Mama. Honestly, Mama King for the win. She tries, even now, like after feeding us for 25 years, there's three of us, so Bronte, Henry and I, and Dad, and she comes up with the most fascinating recipe, but they're all delicious.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Mum, you're incredible,
that's
honestly.
Lovely. That's
so
a really nice one.
Health goddess.
So what was your favourite childhood treat?
Oh, well, I'm just going to say popcorn again because do you want me to tell you why? Do you want me to tell you why?
I want to know
so
why.
So Mum would never give us like chocolate or anything. There would never be anything unhealthy in the house.
Right.
There would just be popcorn kernels in a bag and we'd love putting
yourself.
Them with coconut oil, popping them before like anyone even spoke about popcorn.
Yeah.
And popping it ourselves because it would be like it would be so much fun. And they would fly all over the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we'd have it when they were out. So Mum and Dad would go out, we'd have a babysitter and we'd just love
make
like
popcorn.
God. Yeah, and we'd put salt in it. That's and we'd so like nice. Make our own flavours. So honestly, that is why I love it.
And
that
I want to go to the King household and make popcorn.
Oh my God, we need to have like a weekend where we just
that
eat
sounds
popcorn.
Lovely. Okay, this is one to get you thinking. What is the last thing you tried for the first time?
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, I think, oh.
I'm loving the sound effects here.
Ooh, I had an oyster and it was gross.
So that was your new thing. When was
that? Yeah, that was in Croatia.
Yeah,
and
you
I was like,
like
go
it.
On then, I'll have one.
They make
one.
You swallow it, don't they, really quick.
Why? There's no point in oysters.
I don't understand the whole
lot. Because you don't chew them, you don't even
and they're not an aphrodisiac.
Them.
Yeah, that's a bit of a myth, I'm afraid. Yeah, I don't really
What's
get it.
What's an aphrodisiac?
Like something that just gives you like a bit of loving feeling.
Oh!
You're going to go in.
Oh, no. Of course I asked that question. Sorry.
I was thinking how to phrase it in the most appropriate way for my podcast as well.
Oh, like, God. Aphrodisiac.
Okay, so Jessie, that concludes our fire round. Thank you
so
much.
Oh, I want to do some to you.
No, I'm afraid that's the privilege of being the host, isn't it? So we always end with food for thought, with our own food for thought. So to give you an example, mine today. So back to the serious kind of mode. I was on Sky News the other day and I was talking about how a Teen Mag survey said that just 8%, and this is out of 2,000 girls questioned, felt they were happy with their appearance. I mean, that's awful. And 26 of them said they considered having plastic surgery. 19% said they were already suffering from an eating disorder. And what's interesting is that 90% thought someone close to them had an insecure body image too. I mean that's pretty sad. And I think in this Instagram-filtered world that we live in, it's so important that we surround ourselves with positivity. So my food for thought is when you're surrounded by good people, you kind of surrounded by real life, aren't you? Mm. That's the kind of positive thing I think that we need to focus on, who we surround ourselves with a bit more and speak a bit more. Do you have a food for thought that you can share with everyone?
I do. So how you speak to your best friend. So I would say not just forcing a compliment, but when I see a best friend, I'm like, oh, you look so gorgeous in that dress. Speak to your body how you would speak to your best friend.
Yeah, that's
and
lovely.
That is so important because you are best friends with your body. You're both going to go, you and your body are going to go through life together, through everything together.
Yeah.
And you only have your body and it to be comfortable with yourself and to actually be appreciative of what your body is doing for you is such a powerful thing. And that's when you start really not falling in love with your body, but making that real relationship.
I
that
think
true,
that's so
true
lovely.
Connection.
That's
yeah.
so nice. I love the phrase that goes with that, that treat others how you want to be treated too. You know, just that's such a wonderful take-home message. So let's all think of something lovely. And it's not something you make up, like Chess said. It's something you genuinely believe in. Just spread a bit of positive vibes. Well, thank you, Chessie, for coming in today.
I can't wait for that clay module of me.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. I've never even done it in my life. Right, Chessie, thank you for coming on Food for Thought.
Thank you so much, Ree. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love my next guest. So click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And remember, a bit of extra guidance and advice may be all it takes to help you become the healthiest and happiest version of you. In my part handbook and part recipe book, Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, you can follow the structure of a session with me in clinic, gaining the confidence you need to create delicious, nourishing meals at home with my Renourish menu. Check it out on Amazon or all major bookshops. For more information about me, my clinic, recipes, events, health retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. A great burger needs to stand on its own. That means the burger has to taste good naked. Whether it's a fried egg on top, spicy mayo, or even peanut butter, these should complement the burger, not define it. And when you don't have a bun lying around, you should try Heck Spring Chicken Burgers. Check out heckfood.co.uk or the major supermarket. Spiced up with spring onions, chili, and ginger. It's a little bit different to your classic burger, but delicious on a bed of noodles with some homemade sweet chili sauce. Just blend a few peppers, chili, tomato, garlic, and ginger before bringing the mixture to the boil in a saucepan until the sauce thickens.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.